Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come together with our friends, with our family, to worship you. And I just pray that now as we come to thinking about the spirit of the fruit of gentleness, I pray that you would guide us, help us to really understand this fruit and also apply it to our lives. And we just thank you and praise you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we, as I alluded to in my prayer, continuing our study on the fruit of the Spirit. We've actually almost done all of them. We're getting towards the end. We're looking at the fruit of gentleness, which is an interesting fruit. Earlier on in my study, I was thinking, man, if I was to give a list of the fruit of spirits that I thought should be part of the fruits of the Spirit, I don't know if gentleness would initially make my be on my list, but as I was studying it, I was realizing the importance of gentleness in the life of a believer, how integral it is to it. But I think it can be misunderstood. And so part of our thing we will be doing today is understanding and then applying gentleness to our lives. One of the common passages that you might come across when you're thinking about gentleness is that in 1 Kings. We actually looked at this not too long ago in Sunday school. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings 19, there's an account where Elijah goes into a cave and is lodged in it. This is after he's fleeing from Jezebel. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." So he tells him to go out on the mountain. And it is there, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Then, after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. You think about the power on display here as Elijah walks out and he sees this wind, he feels this earthquake, he sees this fire. He's probably thinking, what is going on? After all that, after the fire, a sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And that is a good example of gentleness, as we will see. If you were to very simply define gentleness, I think it's power under control. There you saw the power of God on display in the earthquake, in the fire, in the wind. And yet he comes in a low whisper and says to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so gentleness is something that we need in our lives. As I mentioned in the beginning, it's a fruit of the Spirit, right after kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. So let's define it a bit. But before we do that, one of the things I was thinking about is how it's perceived today. It's good for us to know the context of the world we live in. How do people think about gentleness today? And it's kind of interesting because I don't think it's always in a positive sense. Actually, sometimes I think more so maybe in a negative sense. We think of a gentle person maybe as someone with self-chosen powerlessness. Weakness, right? And they can't really do a whole lot, and you're thinking of a nice way to describe them, so you're like, well, they're gentle. It's someone who might be oversensitive, someone who's timid. They are a gentle soul, right? You think of them as that. Or you might think about it as situations where you really want to just roast someone. You are frustrated. You're about to go at them biblically. And then maybe your wife reminds you that you need to be gentle in this situation, which might be true. But we think of it as something we have to do to those who can't handle the truth, right? We must be gentle with them. We think of it like a baby, right? You do have to be gentle with babies, but we see weakness and we think gentleness sometimes. And so we need to be careful not to have that. We need to remember that it's a fruit of the Spirit. Everyone who is a believer needs to have gentleness in their heart. It should be a fruit that comes out of our life. And so what is it? Well, I already told you, it's gentleness, simply put, is power under control, strength with character. You can think about wisdom as being the application of knowledge or the right use of knowledge, and gentleness is the right use of power. So it's using the right amount of force at the right time, in the right measure, and for the right reason. So, the right time, right measure, and the right reason. I was thinking about a few illustrations, way to think about this, and the first one I could think of was a rocket. And there was a very significant rocket that took off and, more importantly, came back, right? That was in the news for a long time. Really, any rocket is a good picture of gentleness, right? Power under control. But this one in particular had a lot of power. First of all, it weighed 5,300 tons. It was over 200 feet tall. It had 33 engines on it that produced 16.7 million pounds of thrust. Kind of incomprehensible when you're thinking about it, but it was power under control on display, right, as that giant rocket got caught. Or you could think about it as a tractor, an excavator. I've got excavators, tractors all around me nowadays with two little boys, so I was like, well, I'll throw this one in there. This is the Bagger 288. It can shovel 8.5 million cubic feet of dirt a day. It is, I believe they said it was 71 feet tall. It has 18 buckets. Each bucket is 7,700 pounds empty. And it can scoop 230 cubic feet of soil in one scoop, which would be able to fill a cargo van. Again, this is a giant machine, but it's a good object lesson of power under control, right? That is gentleness. Using the right amount of power for the right reason at the right time. Sometimes when you're thinking about what something is, it's helpful to think about what it is not. It is not rage. Rage is often seen as the opposite to gentleness in the Bible. Actually, if you go to 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3:3, Paul here is looking at the qualifications of overseers. We actually went through this not too long ago. He says, they are not to be a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, right? You're not supposed to be violent. You're supposed to be gentle. Gentleness is the opposite to the violence. Anger is explosive, uncontrolled, often unrighteous. It's not like a rocket. It's more like a bomb, right? We need to be those who are in control, using the right amount of anger at the right time in the right measure for the right reason. And that doesn't mean, so it's not unhinged rage, but it's also not doing nothing. I think we can think about gentleness as, well, I just won't do anything then. That's not what gentleness is either. Again, it's not weakness. It's actually strength. When you look at 2 Timothy now, if you just turn over to 2 Timothy 2:24, he says to flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord, that's in 22, from a pure heart, having nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. And this is the part, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Right? Correcting, yes, and you do it with gentleness. Galatians actually says in 6:1 that you correct in a spirit of gentleness, right? That is the idea. So it's not doing nothing. You are to actually correct, but you are to do it in a spirit of gentleness. Gentleness is interesting. It kind of holds you back from having too much anger, but it also makes sure that you also don't do too little in the situation as well. The last thing I want to mention as we get going into our main text is that it's tied to humility in a significant way. Oftentimes when you see gentleness, you also see humility attached with it. In Colossians 3, you don't have to turn there, 3:12, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, which is gentleness, and patience. And it makes a lot of sense. It's power under control. So power is often something that can create a lot of pride. As people get built up in life, they might think that fail to realize to see that God is the one who put them where they are at, and they get pride. And so humility becomes important to use that power for God's glory, right? Using the power for his glory. Gentleness. Humility pushes down self so gentleness can be shown to others. Which is again why in Timothy, Paul lists that as one of the qualifications for an overseer, that they are to be gentle, using the right amount of force for the right reason, at the right time, in the right measure. All right, that brings us into our first main text today. I know that was all just an intro, but so that is life. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. We see the example of gentleness. It's interesting, there's not many verses, or actually really any, that talk about God as being gentle. But there are many of Jesus, the Son, as being gentle. Let's read this text as we dive into it. It says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except for the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. An interesting passage that comes right after his woes to the unrepentant cities. And Jesus then declares that, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. You might think of those who are also the ones who are labor and are heavy laden. And he gets into this idea of the fact that all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except by the Father. So no one knows the Son except through the Father. So you have to know the Father to know the Son. But then he also goes on to say, and no one knows the Father except the Son. So now it's to the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. So now you need to know the Son, right? The Son is the one who chooses to reveal the Father to those who go to him. And he says to them, it's interesting, right? How the balance there. He says, the Son chooses to reveal him, but then he calls them to himself, right? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. The first thing we see is that power under control here in this verse. There's a lot to say within this passage, but we're sticking to the theme of gentleness. Power under control. Notice what he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things. That's quite the statement. That's quite the powerful statement coming from a very powerful God, man, Christ Jesus, right? He literally created all things. He is the preeminent one, the omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful one. And he reveals that all things have been handed over to me. That is the power of Christ. And yet, in that same little passage, he says, come to me because even though all things have been handed to me, I am gentle and lowly. You'd almost think that you'd say, I am powerful and capable, which is true. But he says, I am gentle and lowly. It's interesting, to say the least. Power under control is who Christ was. At all times, you could think of other instances too, and I was thinking about Jesus cleansing the temple, and you'd think, well, was that a very gentle thing to do? And I would argue, yes, that is exactly what the people need. That was the right response, the right measure, the right time, and the overall purpose of it for the right reasons too, right? After that, the kids are singing Hosanna, right? And they're calling him the Son of David. They understood what he was doing, and it ultimately led to them understanding who he was. So it was for the right reason. All right, so that is power under control, we see, but it is also connected with compassion. Connected with compassion. He sees those who are laborers and those who are heavy laden. You can see compassion all throughout Christ's life, but you can definitely see it here. He looks at them as the all-powerful one, the righteous one. He doesn't say to them, oh, I can't believe they're still trying to work their way to their Father. I can't believe they're still in their sins. You know, they kind of deserve it, which is true. They did this to themselves. They've put a burden on themselves, which might be true as well. But he doesn't look at them and say that. He looks at people who are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest if you come to me. He had compassion, which was a gentle response. And it made me think about what is my response to those who are heavy laden with burdens. Burdens are funny because, as we all know, sometimes we put them on ourselves, and at some point later on down the road, we say, how did this get so heavy? But it started somewhere, and often it's our own fault. Whether it's sin or many people are working their way to God and it doesn't work out. But how do we view other people with those heavy loads? Do we sneer at them and say, well, they kind of put it on themselves. They deserve to be there. Or do we say, you know what, I know someone who can unburden you from that. Someone who is gentle and lowly. So So it's connected with compassion, but it also has direction, right? It's directed towards people. Come to me, those who are burdened, and I will give you rest. He's thinking about others, and he's thinking about their burdens. Gentleness is using your power and thinking about others' people needs and how you can fulfill them or what they need in those moments, right? Sometimes people do need a harsh rebuke. That can also be gentle if it's the right thing at the right moment for the right reason, right? You want to call them to yourself. Or not to yourself, to Christ. You don't matter. Just kidding. Call them to Christ. So we need to be thinking of others. Again, that idea of humility is here, right? Christ was gentle and lowly, humble. If the God of the universe can come in the form of a baby and call people to himself and call himself gentle and lowly, can we not as well? So we need to have our gentleness directed at people. So that is a good example, but all that is good and we understand it, but you might say, well, I just need a clear instruction. How do I be gentle in the world today? And that for that, we will turn to James 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. As I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking, man, that is the perfect way to be gentle in a world today. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, that is gentleness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 19, one of the best ways to start being gentle is to be quick to hear. That is a staple in the life, and it should be in the life of a believer. Quick to hear. It's often sometimes hard to hear, and it's especially hard to hear if you're talking. It's actually almost impossible to hear what other people are saying if you are saying something as well. All of us have probably been in an argument where everyone's just talking and no one's listening, right? We as believers should be quick to hear. We're learners first and foremost, right? Some of us just want to be teachers. We just want to say what's on our mind, but you should be a learner first and foremost. Quick to hear. We have two ears and only one tongue. We should hear twice as much as we say something. There was another little quote that said, "The righteous speak little and do much. The wicked speak much and do nothing." We need to be those who speak little and do much. So be quick to hear. If you are constantly speaking and never really listening to people, that might be a sign that you aren't able to, right? Because you don't understand the context of life that you're living, the context of what people are going through. So you're not going to be able to use the right amount of force at the right time for the right reason because you don't know any of those. Quick to hear. But then you don't have to be quiet. Some of you are giving a sigh of relief. You can say something. Slow to speak. But we should speak. We need to speak at times. We just need to think about what we're saying before we say it. And our words should be that of gentleness. We can even rebuke people with gentleness, as we talked about. You think about 1 Peter 3:15, where we are always prepared to give a defense for the hope that is within us, but we are to do that with gentleness, right? You can give a defense for your faith, and yet you can also do that with gentleness. Actually, it's important that we do that. So be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and then slow to anger is the third. Anger is an interesting thing, isn't it? It's all consuming. Man, when I'm angry, that's what I am. I'm just angry. I'm not going to go sit and study for a sermon when I'm angry, right? That's just like not going to happen. My mind is way too explosive and preoccupied. And so when you're angry, it creates a space in your life, a state, I should say, where listening isn't going to be easy to do, and then also speaking slowly might not be easy to do. We need to be careful that anger is not part of your walk with God as a constant state. So quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And then he clarifies, all right, for the anger of man does not produce righteousness of God. We need to remember that. There's a lot of moments in life where you think you just get angry and you think it's a righteous anger. But we need to be careful. Sometimes when we think we have righteous anger, it might not be as righteous as we think. And we might need a little more gentleness in our approach to the situation. So, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And the last thing is teachable. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. We need to receive it with meekness, which is able to save your soul. And so, again, our position in life should be that of a gentle spirit. You think about it, if you're just living that out, if you're quick to hear people, if you're slow to speak, if you're slow to anger, and you are teachable in the Word of God, that you are studying it and thinking about it, how it applies to your life, that would be someone in life who you say, man, they are a gentle person. They are thinking about others, and they always have the right response at the right time for the right reason. And so I pray that that is something we can all exemplify in our lives, because we need to. Because it's not, again, something that should be in our lives. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And hopefully we all have that spirit within us. So in conclusion, we have defined gentleness as power under control, right? When you have a controlled response that is gentle, you can't think this is a weakness in my life or I just have to do this. It's no, this is the right response at the right moment for the right reason. And we saw an example of that with our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew. And again, he could have just gotten rid of everyone and said, man, they deserve it forever. Instead, he said, no, I'm gentle and lowly. And he was willing to give them rest for their souls, while also learning how we can be gentle in everyday life and produce the fruit. As you go throughout your life, it's really easy to think, man, am I being quick to hear right now? That's a big one, quick to hear. Am I actually listening to what this person is telling me, or am I just spewing out stuff as they're talking as well? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, and teachable as we are reading the Word of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we got a chance to look at gentleness today. Help us to be those who are seen as gentle in a world that can often be really not. They are quick to speak and slow to listen. And I pray that we would be quite the opposite, that we would stick out to them, and that in doing so, we would be able to preach the word to them and help them realize that they can have a Savior who is gentle and lowly, who came and died for their sins, and just guide us as we display this fruit to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.